Ngayong umaga, makakasama natin ang Filipino-American photographer na si Lawrence Sumulong mula sa Estados Unidos. Magandang araw sa iyo, Lawrence. Good day.
Hello.
You are actually here in Sydney as one of the featured photographers for the Head On Photo Festival at the Hub Central at the Central Park. And you will be sharing portraits of families victims of the Typhoon Haiyan. But what's interesting is that these families reunited in the Typhoon Ravage prison. Tell us more about this.
Well, it was an assignment for a publication called Narratively, which is based in New York. I was working with a Australian-Filipino writer by the name of ILO, and she had written this story, and the photo editor of Narratively, you know, showed me the article, and I read through it, and it was a pretty gripping story about, you know, this very uncanny circumstances of families reuniting with their incarcerated relatives in this destroyed prison. And so immediately, it was already about, I read it maybe about 3 months after Haiyan. And so, you know, hearing about it, seeing images from very distant New York City, you know, I was really taken by sort of this very heartfelt and almost surreal situation. And so I wanted to experience and see with my own eyes what was going on after, in the aftermath of the typhoon. And so around 6 months after the typhoon hit, so that was around April, late April, I traveled for Narratively to visit this prison. I had no idea, according to my Filipino friends and fellow journalists and photographers, the prison was actually known to sort of turn journalists and photojournalists away. And so actually leading up to the moment I got to the gate with my fixer, who was from the area and spoke Warai, you know, there was no certainty whether I would even be able to see what was inside. Fortunately, we were able to get in because my fixer was from the community and, you know, very chummy with the wardens and the guards. And so we were able to see what was going on. Driving up to it, it was a pretty rural drive with not too many houses. It's quite far out from the, sort of the epicenter of Tacloban. And so driving out, it's quite remote. And when I got there, I found out that 60 families or so were still living in this prison. And that was, you know, that was a surprise because at that point, no one really knew what was going on there because, you know, the prison was a little bit uncomfortable with having people. You know, I'm sure in the sort of the immediate sort of aftermath of the hurricane and the news, you can imagine that a lot of journalists and a lot of writers would sort of swarm that area and try to get stories. And so when I went there, it was just me, my fixer, and the atmosphere was rather relaxed, which was kind of surprising given sort of the, you know, the rugged and ravaged landscape and sort of the decrepit state of the prison.
In this series of portraits, what do you intend your viewers or those who see these photos to realize from these images?
A bit of a tangent. I just saw this feature by Anthony Bourdain. I know this is a tangent, but it was for his show Parts Unknown, and he was doing a segment on Manila and Filipino culture. And what really touched me was this idea towards the end of OFW's, this idea of reunion and how the family is such an important part of Filipino culture, and arguably for many other cultures. But for me, what I wanted to focus, you know, because I was not the first photographer to cover this series. I covered it in my own way. My friend John Havalena was actually very helpful in letting me know where the prison was, giving me the backstory. A lot of my other friends and journalists covered this story earlier on. And so coming into that, I wanted to give the viewer a different look than what you'd see from typical news sort of press photos. I wanted it to be a little bit more nuanced and less about sort of the shock of the moment and more about, in this case, the families. And so in that case, finding out that the families were still there and sort of viewing this as a sort of bittersweet reunion, I wanted to do more like staged, somewhat formal portraits of these families together. And I think that's what, you know, whether you're Filipino or Australian or just a traveler who happens to cross these photos, I'm hoping that people realize sort of the subtext of these images, that this is a very traumatic moment for these people. But at the same time, anyone can appreciate, I think, the beauty and also the heartfelt sentiment of being reunited with your family, especially if you're working abroad or if you are away from your loved ones for a very long period of time. And so I wanted to sort of, you know, my focus was the families. And I think that's, you know, that's why in the series that I'm presenting it head on, there aren't really details of what the prison looks like, say. Or, you know, I had them handwrite notes on scrap pieces of paper when you come see the show, it's just really just these portraits of the families. And the way that I processed them was that I shot them digitally, but I wanted to make something that was a little bit more of an artifact and not just a regular print on fine art paper or print on whatever. And so what you're going to see in Head On are actually wall pastings or scans of something called an ambrotype. An ambrotype is a glass photograph processed in the wet plate collodion process. So that's a very antiquated and almost alternative photographic process.
So the photos will look like classic, isn't it?
Yeah, that was the idea, because I think, you know, I don't cover these situations a lot. I don't consider myself, you know, a really hard-nosed photojournalist. I'm not looking for these stories. I'm not covering them for an agency. And so, you know, if anything, I'm trying to do it not for the sake of art. I still consider myself a documentary photographer. But, you know, by having this sort of sepia, it's a natural sepia type of look to it.
Yeah.
And having these families and, you know, the actual artifact is on glass, it made it more, for me, you know, I really took seriously this idea that this was a very rare moment where this family was reunited. You know, when the prison is rebuilt, which it has been, who knows what's going to happen? The prisoners stay, but where does the family go? You know, and so for me, it was really about bringing back some type of, not being too casual with how I was photographing. And sometimes I feel like when you're taking a digital photograph, it feels very insubstantial, or, you know, you can just delete the file and that's it. And so I wanted to have something that looked classic, as you said, but also namely for myself and for other people as well, but to be able to look back at these images and be, you know,
the emotion of it, the emotion of those photos.
Yes.
And prior to the Head On Festival here in Sydney, it's also worth mentioning that you were shortlisted for the professional conceptual category of the world's biggest photography competition, the Sony World Photography Awards. I understand that you didn't get the award, but let's just talk a little bit about the image or the entry you submitted, which is entitled Trapo, which coincide with the election period in the Philippines. Tell us about the image and why did you choose this image as an entry?
It was a series of political, you know, like in Manila or anywhere right now in the Philippines, you see a lot of political posters, right? They're all over the streets. It's usually the candidate's face printed over and over and over again. And that's, I guess if you grew up in the Philippines, that's maybe a normal occurrence every presidential election. But I wouldn't say that's the case, you know, for me growing up in the United States. You have signs, but you don't have these faces, you know, all over the place. And so I found that a bit strange when I was in the Philippines after, I guess, 6 years ago when Noynoy was elected. And so I found that very interesting. And so I, at the time, without really thinking about it, I was taking pictures of these political portraits. And so the idea arose with the election coming up. I took some of the old, you know, old posters that I took pictures of in 2010. When I was last in the Philippines about 5 or 6 weeks ago, I took more portraits of the recent candidates like Duterte and Binay, all those things. And so for me, it was just, it was a way to sort of reflect on the legacy of corruption and how, you know, I feel like people are quite cynical. Filipino people can be quite cynical about just the whole election process. And there always seems to be a scandal that sort of benefits maybe, you know, the top 50 families and doesn't benefit anyone else. And so at some point I was really sick of it. And I think the project is sort of a reflection on that.
I was about to ask that. I was about to say that it isn't your personal perception of the Philippine politics, is it?
It is. I mean, I think, you know, I definitely have friends who are in political positions. And so I think it's just an overall feeling. And I guess it gets very, very pointed when you're using someone's face. It looks like I'm targeting a certain candidate. But really, it's really more just a reflection on just the general state of sort of the election circus. It's not any personal. I don't think I have really ever a right to, you know, I'm not sure who I would vote for if I could vote in the Philippines. No. It was more just hearing scandal after scandal. My parents left after, you know, the martial law era or during it. And so I began to question why I was living in the U.S. And a lot of it was also my family, my father's sort of feeling about the Philippines and how the government was run. And so, you know, it's a personal project, too. It's not necessarily just a political one where I'm just going after people. It's me thinking about the choices that my father made, why he decided to move overseas, what made him so, you know, not disgusted. He was my mom. You know, I still have family in the Philippines. It's very, very important, probably one of the most important places to me. But it's inescapable that things could, the infrastructure and also just the way things, you know, you just hear these extravagant and ridiculous scandals that I just can't, you know, when I'm trying to describe it to my friends who are not Filipino, they're appalled. And so it's a reflection on that.
Yeah. Your photos, they kind of has something to do with the society? Are your photos usually has a theme like that?
Yeah, I think most of my work likes to deal with, you know, I think I'm trying to be objective, but at the same time, it is my interpretation of Filipino culture. I try to understand the society. I grew up in it. Both my parents are Filipino. And so I think I can only speak for, because most of the stories that I do that I really spend time on and are very personal are stories in the Philippines. I'm hoping to do more stories about, you know, Filipinos living abroad. So I think, yeah, I think society is a really huge part of what I'm interested in. You know, I think I'm moving away from maybe going to the Philippines to cover stories because, you know, I have friends who have lived there and are true, you know, full-blooded Filipinos, hard-nosed journalists who...
And since you're here in Australia, are you going to do some photos here of Filipinos here?
I'm leaving on May 1st, and so I didn't really have...
Oh, that was too quick?
Yeah, it was very quick. But, I was in Singapore, and there are a lot of... before this, and so there are a lot of Filipinos there, too. And so I'm getting ideas. You know, I think this trip was all about observing, and I'm always very aware of when I see a Filipino or in what they're doing or, you know, what job they're working. Because I have my own experience in New York, knowing what, you know, friends who are domestic workers or nannies. And so I'm very interested in, going back to the idea of society, I'm very interested now about what Filipinos are doing outside of the motherland.
So maybe sometime you can come back for that. In Australia.
I'd love to if people would have me.
Yeah.
Allow me to. I'd love to.
Going back to the Head-On Photo Festival here in Sydney, your photos entitled Burying the Lid, it's going to be part of the exhibition or the festival. Mm-hmm. When is it and up to when it will be shown at the Central Park?
Well, the opening starts at 6, or actually 5 p.m. I have a very short artist talk where I'm hoping to keep it very informal. If people, you know, I'll explain what the pictures are about, and I'm happy to answer questions about it. And so it starts at 5 p.m. in terms of the opening for my work and the other photographers in that space. And it runs for about, I think, 1 month.
Yep. Invite our listeners to come see your photos.
Sure. I'd be really honored for you to check out these photos. I think it's showing in Central Park, Chippendale, for about a month, and I would love to engage and hear what people think about sort of this instance in Filipino history, which I think is very important.
Thank you very much, Lauren Sumulong, for your time.
Thank you.
SBS Filipino, sa radio, online at mobile.